A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Since the reading of the Gospel is lengthy, I will invite you to be seated, and perhaps we'll take a moment to allow the ushers to find some seating for the many who are standing. If you'd be kind enough to shuffle in just a little bit, perhaps we'll find some seating. Thank you very much. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For the Jews used to have nothing in common with Samaritans. But Jesus answered and said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Give us living water. Give us living water."
And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." But the woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is true." But the woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth."
"Give us living water. Give us living water."
The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work."
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word the woman had testified. "He told me everything I have done," she said. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more came to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This remarkable story about the woman at the well is found only in the Gospel of John. And its setting is a place mentioned in the Gospel as Sychar, but known in the West Bank as Shechem or Nablus. You'll read about Nablus in the news. It's a Palestinian stronghold in the West Bank area, what we call the West Bank occupied territory. Many of our pilgrims have been to Shechem, but not all pilgrimages on which we went from here could go to Shechem. Sometimes it's a dangerous area, but many of our pilgrims have been there. And the well, you can move a synagogue, you can move a church, but you can't move a well. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll see this is the land that Jacob purchased. The well is 72 feet deep, and it's covered over now by a magnificent Greek Orthodox church. And you can go to that well now. There's a bucket there with a rope on it, and you can let the bucket down and haul it up 72 feet with the same water spoken about in this gospel reading. And when we've gone there with our pilgrimage, I always had the women let the bucket down and then draw it up again, and I've always let the women drink first the living waters of Jacob's well. It's very moving. It's an extraordinary place. And it's an extraordinary statement about women. So let's talk about that a little bit. There was a remarkable scandal in what Jesus does here. He talks to a Samaritan. For 500 years before Christ, there was a unique, violent hostility between Jews and Samaritans. No commerce, no conversation, no communication whatever. And Jesus breaks the barrier. He initiates the conversation with a Samaritan. More scandalous still, he initiates a conversation with a woman who is a Samaritan. Clearly, she's a remarkable woman. The The notion of Samaritans in the life of Jesus is very unique. The only ministry we'll find in all four Gospels where Jesus goes to Samaria is in John's Gospel. Luke is gentle, and so he has there in chapter 7 in Luke's Gospel that story you'll remember about the 10 lepers who are healed, and only one comes back to give thanks, and he's a Samaritan. And Luke has one more reference in chapter 10. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Outside of that, Samaritans have no place at all in all four Gospels. It's remarkable that Jesus is so countercultural that he begins a conversation and embraces in an accepting way the Samaritan woman. Married 5 times, and the one she's living with now is not her husband. Variously interpreted. But however you interpret this, she is a remarkable outsider. And even more so because she comes to draw water at noon. They always draw water in the morning and in the late afternoon because it's cooler. So they never draw water in the middle of the day. So how she shows up is kind of a remarkable thing in itself, much discussed by commentators. So we have the encounter. And Jesus embraces her and accepts her in a very gentle, inspiring conversation about living water and about her bucket giving him the water he needs for his thirst, and he will give her living water. No longer will you worship in a place. Now you will worship in spirit and in truth. She becomes the one who reveals God's infinite love for the outsiders. Now, there are many, many features here. As soon as he accepts her as she is, she's never portrayed as a sinner. Rather interestingly. Married 5 times, living with somebody, notice Jesus does ever, no condemnation, no judgment. He accepts her as she is. And because he accepts her, she grows in faith. She begins by saying, "But you are Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink." A man, a Jew. Secondly, she said, "I can see that you're a prophet." She grows in faith. Finally, she says, "But he must be the Messiah." And she becomes the first one to carry the gospel to evangelize. Is an outsider woman, is the first one to carry the good news. Now, I have to kind of be brief here because we have a ceremony coming up and the gospel is long. But here's what I want you to draw from it. There are many, many teachings here, but let me focus on one. She's an outsider. And the outsider can see something that the closest disciples cannot see. She sees the prophet. She sees the Messiah. His followers saw merely a miracle worker, but she saw something they didn't see. The outsider can see what we cannot see as insiders. Who are the outsiders? Who are those we call aliens in our society? Can they see something that we can't see? There's a new generation emerging in our communities and in our churches, and they're questioning things. They're demanding answers. Can they see things that we cannot see? Who are the outsiders in our church? Do the outsiders see something in Jesus Christ that we might miss? Who are the outsiders in our families? Who is it that doesn't fit? Does that person have a gospel revelation for us, the insiders in the family? Do their questions somehow draw us to begin to see things in a new way? We can't miss the power of the woman in this whole dialogue. Women in the church, Where do they fit? The first to evangelize, the first witness of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene. Take a second look. Take a second look at the outsiders in our society. Take a second look at the outsiders in our church. Those who question things and those who somehow cause us to be a little bit uncomfortable, cause us to think in new ways, to take risks, to consider possibilities we haven't considered before. Who are they? They're the outsiders. They're the woman at the well. Who is the outsider in your family? The one who calls you most irritation. The one who disappoints you the most. The one who doesn't fit in. Is this person teaching us something about ourselves? Which can only be understood when we accept them. The woman grows in faith because Jesus accepts her. Makes no judgment. Treats her with great reverence and great respect. And because she is embraced, she grows. She grows into a disciple more insightful, more of an evangelizer than the closest disciples of Jesus. Worth a second look. How do we sanctify Lent? How do we make the Lord's Day holy? By thinking in a new way. By taking a second look. A second look at our society. Where so much of our discourse, and even in the church, some of our discourse has to exclude people, make judgments about people, separate people, shut people out. What does the Word of God say to us? How do we withhold our judgments and treat people with reverence and respect and allow them to grow because they have been loved and they have been accepted? And my friends, this is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the Word of the Lord. This is the Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.